also want to remind you guys, we are praying for a building, and we're believing the Lord for $1 million. Are we all together believing the Lord for $1 million? Yes, yes. What we've been doing here, what Pastor Lee has done here, is amazing. I've learned so much just by watching him and Robin. I really believe that God has a special anointing over them for the work that we're doing. And we are already looking and praying and strategizing. And God is providing people who are willing to finance for us. We're a very new church, and the banks won't just let us have $1 million. They don't trust us that much. But we are praying. We are praying that we will walk in his time. We don't want to walk prematurely. And we want to trust the Lord that he will be the one providing for all things. So please keep that in one of your top prayers. Amen. Are you guys... I'm a little old school. So did y'all bring your Bibles to church this morning? I like the book. You know, mine's kind of like falling apart. I don't mind I really do have my Bible on my phone too. So if you didn't bring your actual book Bible, show me your Bible on your phone. Woohoo! Yes, awesome. We're going to be reading a couple of scriptures today. First, let's pray for me. I haven't been up here in a long time, and you guys are just like awesome. I thank God I don't know most of you. No, I'm just kidding. So I won't know what you're thinking yet, but just Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that you will continue to do your work through us. I pray for me that you will use me as your vessel, that you will fill my mouth, that none of me will come out but all of your message to our brothers and our sisters. And Lord, I just pray that you prepare the heart of every single one of us to be astounded by your word, to be challenged by your word. Lord, that we could, every time we hear your word, it would be like the first time, that we cannot fall into that spirit of familiarity where we just heard it, been there, done that, that we could be encountered by the word that is alive, that renews us, and that brings us close to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So, I want to tell you a little bit about me before I start sharing today, and it has a lot to do with what we're sharing today. Ever since I was called into ministry, I knew God had a specific message and a specific job that I had to do, and that was to introduce and to speak about the loving God, the God of love. So I come from a family of my parents are Mexicans. We lived in Mexico, but we were born here, and our grandparents are here, but we lived in a Mormon colony in Mexico. So I was able to see a little bit of different religions, the Catholics, the Mormons, and then here. And then when we moved to the United States, you get to meet all sorts of people. And I realized that even in Christianity or in every other religion, there was this God that I didn't like very much. I didn't like religion, actually. I learned that it was religion that I didn't like. So when God called me to ministry, you all know I didn't volunteer for it, okay? Because who would volunteer for ministry? It's a lot of work, right? Sebastian would say there's no bank for pastors. There's no bank for pastors. It's hard work. And I married an amazing man of God. He was raised by ministers. He was a minister himself. He went to Christ for the Nations a couple years before Pastor Lee. And he understood as well the responsibility that a minister has. Not only, it's just huge. Everybody thinks it's amazing that you get to be up here and know a lot of people. It is amazing because you get to meet a lot of beautiful people and love a lot of people, but you also hurt with them. You also walk with them, and it's a big responsibility. But I really knew that that what God had called me to do is to show the God that a lot of people hadn't seen. So if you know me, I don't have a problem saying things like they are. It is what it is. If God said it, I believe it, right? But there is another side of God, the God that we sang today. He's full of love, full of power, full of mercy. He's just an awesome God. There's no other God like him. And that's pretty much my job for the rest of my life, to walk it out, to experience it. And throughout the years, we've had many wonderful experiences of this good God, and we've had many difficult, terrible experiences, and we still saw the good God. So I want to share with you this amazing God. pardon me, I have a little ADD, so you know, if I go, Pastor says he's chasing rabbits, I'm just trying to find my thoughts, so help, be with me. This amazing God that I'm going to tell you about, we'll share stories, but we're going to share the word too, has shown his mercy to us many times. And does anybody know the definition of mercy? Raise your hand. We're going to be a little interactive today, okay? Because there's not a lot of us, and Pastor Lee's not here, and he didn't say I couldn't do that, so. Okay? All right, what's mercy? Edna. Very good. A gift from God, okay, that you don't deserve. Okay, what is grace? Because it sounds like that's grace too. Yes. Unmerited favor. Also, a gift that you don't deserve. Now, mercy means that the punishment that you earned, that you deserve, he doesn't give you. I'm all for that. Okay, that the punishment you deserve, he doesn't give you, but then he's also a God full of grace. That means that the gifts that you also don't deserve, he gives to you. So at the end of the day, we all come to God, you know, and say, you know, I didn't deserve any of this. You're just an awesome God. When I was talking to a couple of my Muslim friends a couple years ago, they were talking about how hard it is for them to keep the good works and then, you know, to lessen the bad words so that when they get to the end of their days, they get to God and say, let me in. And I said, how could we ever be so ignorant to tell God, I did this, I deserve to go in. He is God. None of us could ever go that way. That's why he's an awesome God. He said, because you didn't deserve it, but I did it for you, you come into me. Amen? That's the God. That's the living, loving God that I love, that I know. Amen. So God is good all the time. Amen. There was a movie, right, that says God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. The God's Not Dead. Have you all seen that movie? God's Not Dead. One of the pastors used to say that. Okay, so God is love. God is good. God is love. God doesn't have love. He is love. Did you see the difference? He is love. He doesn't have love. Okay? And the scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The perfect love of God casts out fear. Okay, so God's perfect love casts out fear, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the fear of God that draws us near to God, not away from God. And I think a lot of people have experienced this fear that draws them away from God that doesn't come from God. So once they have an encounter with God, we're going to talk about an encounter. This is what God wants us to have, a relationship with God, not a ritual, not a religion, not a this is what you need to do to get to God. It's get to know him personally. And I know it sounds kind of like boring because we've heard it all our lives, but we are going to see the difference of somebody who knows of God and somebody who knows God himself. The fearing of God in us leads us to hate sin, but not the sinner, okay? The fear of God in us that draws us near to God, we will be led to not want to mingle with sin, but not hate the sinner. And the only way we get to know the Lord is through Scripture. And I know some of you guys are going to be wondering, what is she talking about? I'm going to get there soon. The heart of God is revealed through Scripture, y'all. Okay? Let me say that again. The heart of God is revealed through Scripture, right here. That's why my kids must hate it. And I will embarrass them today, too. But in order to know God and this good God, you have to find it through the Scriptures. You can't say you have a good relationship with God and grow with God if you do not dive into the Scriptures. Faith is normal for us. Faith should be normal for the believer. And I have a problem with people saying, I don't have enough faith. Because even if you have faith of the size of the mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So faith is normal for Christians. And our objective is to get to know God so that you could be filled with Him. And then you will be able to transfer that essence and that power that you get from Him, not from yourself, but from Him. But you can only discover that through Scripture. Through the Bible, through Him speaking to you, through the Holy Spirit. So I want us to go to, open up your Bibles, to John chapter 5. You hear that? That sounds good, huh? You have it? John chapter 5, verse 38. This is one of the verses that I always remember. I don't always remember where it's at, but I wrote it down today. It's verse 5:38. I remember when Jesus was speaking to his people, and Jesus said, Jesus could recognize that even though they searched the Scriptures, the word of God was not in them. It says, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, you do not believe. Even though the Pharisees had read the Scriptures, they couldn't identify the Messiah. Jesus could recognize those who don't have the word in them. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. The only way you could be filled with his word is by having an encounter with him through his word, and he will come alive. Faith is a result, not of our efforts, but of our surrender. And we're going to see that. We're going to go to John chapter 6. Are you there? Here we go. This is one of the stories and the scriptures that I'll always hold in my heart, because I've lived it through and I see it a lot. I have a lot of friends that ask me, how is it that I've been able to raise my kids by myself and they're in Christ? And they look pretty good. They're teenagers, they're young ones, but they're in church, they love God. They're not that bad. But I did it all by myself. And as a single woman, I was widowed at age 33, and I've been alone for 10 years. And my first instinct was running to God. I was desperate for God. Not just for me, but for my kids. I was desperate for God because I knew I was called to tell everybody about the love of God and the power of God. And I didn't know that these difficult situations and these difficult circumstances would be used by God for me to encounter him and tell you about his love and his power. But I did come across this, and I'm going to share this with you. I don't have all the answers, but I wasn't meant to have all the answers. I was meant to love him. And I learned a long time ago that even if there is no heaven as a promise, I would still serve him. That I would walk by faith and not by sight. That I would have a covenant with him. That I would serve him even if I didn't understand. And this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to share the word of you because there's a lot of people who are offended by the Lord. There's a lot of people that were raised in church, and I don't know how my kids are going to end up. I do know because I have a promise. But there's a lot of people who've raised kids in the church or tried to do their best, and at the end of the day, they seem to wander off. And I want to tell you, God is good, God is faithful, and his word will never go void, and the Lord will honor your faith. And even if your children or you don't understand all things, you don't have to. You just trust him. But you do need to hear a word from God. You do need to always have a word from God. So I have one of my best friends. We're the same age. Her kids are, you know, 5 and 6, and mine are 18 and 15. So I've done a lot more of rearing children than her, even though we're in the same age. And she tells me, well, how do you know? Because parents, there's no manual and there's no easy thing. And children, when they're 2, 3, and 4, oh my gosh, you tell them, couldn't manage yourself. They can't. Right? And you want to control them, and nobody can control anybody. We've learned that. We're powerful. We need to teach them. But anyway, so she tells me, how do you know? How do I know my kids are going to be good like yours? And I said, you will know because you gave them, you consecrated them to the Lord. Okay? But now what you need to know is, what were your kids born for? And that's my question to you today. Do you know what your kids were born for? And a lot of people were like, no, I don't know. Well, you need to hear from God. Well, how do you hear from God? Well, how do you don't hear from God? I hear from God all the time. I heard from God last night in my sleep, and I wanted to get some rest because I wanted to be here today. And I had an amazing dream, and I'll tell you about my dreams later. I had an amazing dream. But you need to know what is the God speak to you about your children. But there's a lot of offended people. I'm offended about this. I mean, everybody's offended. We went to the graduation for Ariana yesterday, and one of the kids started preaching, and I was like, yeah. He's like, you know, give your life to the Lord, a graduate. And there was people that were offended. And I don't understand why there's so many offenses. Why are people so delicate nowadays? And, you know, I'm glad Pastor Lee's not here, but this is me, okay? This is not Pastor Lee. This is not Four Score. This is my opinion. I think there's a lot of delicate people who are offended. When I raise my kids, I raise them old school. Okay, if you don't understand what I say, it's okay. You will grow up one day and we'll understand. Now it's because I said so. Thank you. Because we want to explain and talk them into their good behavior. Children cannot be talked into their good behavior until the chancla comes out. Right? Sometimes. Now, I do believe that there are better ways for us to raise our kids than how we were raised because we have more information, but we also have always had, and this is where I want to go back to, we've always had the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive to lead us. So here we go. In chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus starts talking to the people, disciples, has a multitude of people. And he says, verse 35 says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus is talking this crazy stuff to all these people. And then verse 41, we're going to jump. We're not going to read the whole thing. Verse 41 says, then the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. How many of y'all have teenagers? Lord Jesus. Okay, you say one thing and then they complain about it because you're smart, because you're the parent, right? They just don't get it. And I see a lot of them, but teenagers are so much fun. I love mine. Okay, so then verse 41, they complained about Jesus. And then verse 51, skip over to verse 51. Here's Jesus again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The people were like, what is he saying? Oh my gosh. He's the living bread. He came down from heaven. But don't we know Maria and Jose? Like, how did he come from heaven? They didn't understand. Like, we know this kid. We know where he comes from. Why is he saying these things? And then his flesh? Like the bread, we shall eat it. This is like crazy stuff for a lot of people, right? So verse 52, then the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You know what? They were offended. You know what was offended? Their minds. They couldn't understand it. I go back to John 5:38. Jesus would have said, they don't have the word in them. Even though they read the scriptures, they didn't have the word in them, because when he spoke, they couldn't recognize it. It didn't come alive. It didn't come alive. So then let's run to verse 60. I like that. You like that? Okay, verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who could understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? And that's my question today. Are you offended? Does Jesus offend you? Does his word offend you? Because he says everything that's right and wrong right here in the word. And if you know a little bit about me, I have an amazing, diverse, crazy family. And I love them all. But I stand firm in my convictions according to what God says. Okay? I am not going to adjust and structure my life to what is normal. Because just because it's normal doesn't make it right. Faith is normal. I have to believe before I see. So, are you offended? Does this offend you? Verse 62 says, what then if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Is it the Spirit who gives life? The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And if you have a highlighter, highlight that. The words that Jesus speak are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go? So here we go. The crowd was there for Jesus. You know why? Because they were getting blessed. He would walk and heal the sick. He would feed the poor. He would do amazing miracles, signs, and wonders. And the gathering was coming. Because who doesn't want something for nothing? He was touching them. They were getting healed. He was doing things that were completely, he was revolutionizing the culture. He was doing things that he was not supposed to do. But the moment that he speaks to them, the stuff that they didn't understand, they were like, okay, this is too much. This is kind of crazy. I gotta go. The problem is, when you don't understand, is it Jesus or your fault that you didn't understand? It says, when he speaks, life, spirit, and life. So he had a challenge. Imagine having a bunch of people there following him all the time. Are you all bored? Okay. Imagine having a bunch of people following him, getting all this stuff, and suddenly they leave. Suddenly they leave. Is that? It's not fun. You know? I've been in places where, you know, people just left and it's not cool. And then the 12 stay. And he has to tell them, are you all offended? Do you guys also want to leave because you don't understand? Because I'm saying this stuff? Check yourself out right now. Verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Verse 68 says, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I love this man. I love Simon Peter. Peter, in the scripture, he's just like, I think I'm a little like that sometimes. I think somebody said sometimes that he was, you know, he loved to eat. I love to eat. He says things the wrong way. He just has like this attitude. He's awesome. Right? But Peter said, Lord, when you speak, something inside me comes alive. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it right here. But I know in my heart, in my gut, inside out, that what you're saying is true. And you know what? Where else can I go? Where else can I go to get that? In 2008, when the market crashed, where did people go? They couldn't go to the banks. They couldn't go to the doctors. They couldn't go to the wise people. Where did they go? You got to go to Jesus, people. Because only he could speak to you and lead you to life and continue. I don't have the scripture, but I'll tell you a story real quick. When the apostle Paul was on the boat to go to the other island, and there was a shipwreck. Y'all remember that story? There was a shipwreck, and he was asleep, and then people were calling, you know, wanting to get the experts on shipping and navigation to lead it, and they were like, no, y'all are going to die, until he gets up and says, no, this is how we're going to do it. Nobody's going to die because I got to get there. You can't go to the experts sometimes. You have to go to God so that he could speak to you and know what you have to do. So how do you know what to do with your family? How do you know what to do with your business? How do you know what your kids were born for? How do you know? I want to be able to create a culture of faith, a culture of awesome believers, of faith, meaning that we're believing in something we're not seeing. Worship is one of my favorite, and I love to worship. I know that miracles happen in worship. Never miss worship. It's probably one of the most important times of your week, of your day. Amazing things happen in worship. But I believe that as we're believing for the $1 million, it's going to come, y'all, because we're believing in that. We're going to be walking in faith. We're going to believe those things that are not as if they are. But you know what? We need to dive into the word and say, Lord, what are you telling us? What are you talking to us? Talk to me. I am desperate. And I'm going to go back to the children. What were your children born for? Because we have a church full of kids and teenagers. We have an amazing youth group. A lot of kids going to college. We're raising a lot of kids. What are we raising them for? Because we cannot beat Disney. Church cannot compete against Disney. Church cannot compete against Xbox and the world. That is very attractive. But you know what? Church has to be more attractive. My kids know. You're going to go to church for the rest of your life, people. They know. It's non-negotiable. And the day we fall apart from the Lord, that's the day that you will not be happy. Just a warning. And I've always told them, either you learn by revelation or by tribulation. Pick one. Amen to that. Okay? But I remember, I wrote here, we're going to create a culture of young ones who don't follow because they understand, but because they're alive when Jesus speaks. The Lord is not against reason. He's above reason. Okay? He's not against reasons. Reason. He's above reason. How am I doing in time? Are y'all in a hurry? What time do we finish normally? 10 minutes? I'm almost done. Okay. So we're going to raise a generation that is going to believe when God speaks and not walk out and say, these people are cray cray because they can't believe that we're going to get $1 million. We're going to get $1 million. We are. It's not that hard, I think. I also wrote, people who hear from the heart when the mind doesn't understand. Faith starts in the heart and then it runs to your mind. You believe something and then the Lord will allow you to see it and think it, not the other way. Faith doesn't go to your head and then run to your heart. It's the opposite. It goes to your heart and then it runs to your mind, and then you start believing it. There's a lot of men, I believe that there's a lot of men that are visionaries. You believe it in your heart. You see your business. You see your family. You see your future. That's a lot of women can do this too, but it's usually an attribute that a man has. You see something being built up. I see your books, Ron. I just see them. You believe it, and then it starts running to your mind, and then you see it alive. It's not here yet, but it'll be here. So that's something that we need to create, a people, a generation, a culture that can walk by faith and not by sight and not be offended when Jesus talks. Because when Jesus talks, he's going to challenge you. He's going to offend you by what you know and by where you're standing. Either you align with him or not. But I always say, when Jesus speaks, okay, somebody's going to have to make adjustments, and it's not going to be him. Right? I tell my kids that too. Now, my kids are super smart, okay? She's going to architectural engineering school. Let's give it up for Ariana. Woohoo! My son is super smart. I mean, he knows a lot more about electronics and stuff. See, you see me with my notes? I didn't even have an iPad to bring today. My kids have everything, iPads and computers, but I'm a little old school and I like it. There's some things that I don't have to change, and there's some things that I will if it's helpful. But not everything. Anyway, they're smarter than me in some things, but they still have to understand where your authority comes from. And you might not understand it, but you will adjust because it comes from the Father. So I want to share a couple stories about why this is so important to me and so passionate. My husband passed away, and he had lymphoma, cancer, a very young age. He was 44, so I widowed at 30 something, because he was like 14 years older than me. So, yeah. Anyway, so Sebastian was super young. Ariana was super little. She was 6, and he was like 3, going on 4. And as the years went by, I think Sebastian was almost 5 years old, so you all know a 5-year-old. And he came to me one day, and not one day, often, he would say, "Mom, you're not going to die, right?" And you know what? Mom goes on mom modes. "No, mijito, you know, when I have white hair and you have a lot of kids and you grow up, then I'll go with the Lord." Because what does mom want to do? Mom wants to not have their children hurt. You want to take the hurt away from your child. You want to walk with them and make their life just so much better. And then I think he said it to me 2 or 3 times. And then the Lord spoke to me one day. And he offended my head, my mind, my thoughts. He said, "No, you don't tell that to Sebastian. You teach him right now when he's 5-year-old that even if you're not there, I am there." Oh, Lord Jesus, that broke me. I mean, the kid doesn't have one parent. And for me to tell him something like that, you know, automatically you go, your mind, do. Well, mine goes like that, okay. I just was devastated. But I knew that if God spoke to me, I had to do it because he would back me up. Now, none of you all heard that. It was to me. I could have not done it and be like, whatever. But God knew it and I knew it. But I knew it. And I had to tell him and face him, you know. Even if I am not here, even if I die, God is there for you. Amen. So who am I trying to raise? A man of faith. A man that trusts the Lord. That can be offended. That won't be so delicate because he just wants to hear what he wants to hear. No, a strong man that knows where he is going. So then I start praying, "Oh Lord, you know, like, what did you call these kids for? Because like, what's my purpose?" There's a lot of us here in this church that are widow and we share these stories. Like, what's our purpose? My purpose is to be an awesome mom, but first, a daughter of God to serve him. But I want to know, how do I serve you? Well, I start at home with my kids. And of course, I had, you know, we had other stuff going on too. But my main purpose was leading these kids. And I'm still not done, but I'm going there. And I want you all to join me in this with your children so that we could be an amazing, powerful church. You ask God, what was your child born for? And I remember the Lord giving me Proverbs for Sebastian. It was Proverbs 23. When you get home, read it at home. I'm just going to tell you a little bit. He said to me, Proverbs 23 for Sebastian. It says, When you sit to dine with the ruler, note well what is before you and put a knife to your throat. I didn't know what that meant until I started studying. You teach him to manage himself because he will be important and influential, and he will sit with governors and with kings. And he needs to learn now how to manage himself so that he won't want their power, their wealth, their fame, their riches. He needs to be a man of God. And I said, you betcha. How hard is it to teach kids to manage themselves? It's a lifelong. But you know what? I know where he's going. I know where he's going. So when he needs to make decisions, we kind of know. What kind of career? What kind of job? What kind of thing? What are you going to do? For who? For God. That's what you're going to do. You were born for greatness. And I would tell them that since they were little. You were born for greatness. Manage yourself and act accordingly. And that's what it is. And then, Adriana, little princess. What was she born for? You know, when you have more than one child, it's kind of difficult because they all have different personalities. Right? They're so different. And I remember with her, it was a little different. Because she was always had this old soul. And her walk with the loss of her father has been different than mine and than Sebastian. We're all different. Hers has been different because she does remember him and because she did know him. I just want to take a pause and say, gentlemen, you have no idea how incredibly important and influential you are in your children's life. And I know this is a generation about empowering women. I'm all about that. Okay? But let me tell you, we cannot diminish our boys. We cannot disempower men. We need to give them their voice, their authority, and teach them how to walk together with powerful women. But men... We are living in the fatherless generation where there's no fathers. There are fathers that are absent. And I think this is another preaching. Okay? This is a fatherless generation. We need our men to rise up with power and raise other men. So, back to Adriana. We got a word from God. We went to a convention and... Some prophets, one of my dear friends, they're prophets, and they came up to her. She must have been like 8. And they said, you know what, we've been getting this word for Adriana. And I had already received somebody else telling me about this. And they prayed over her and they spoke into her that she would be a woman of new advances in technology to work apart along with her future husband, which we've already prayed for. And that she would be extremely influential. And that girl is a hard-working girl, y'all know. And she's going to get to where she needs to be. But she will do it unto the Lord. And the scripture that we got for her was she fell in love with Esther. Not because of all the story or whatever, but because Esther was called for a specific time, an epic season. In the dispensations that the Lord had chosen, we are changing times right now, and she was born for this time, and she knows that. So when I tell you, when God speaks to you and he starts to offend what you already know, embrace it. And look for the scripture and look for God until he speaks to you. And say, Lord, you told Yara, I can't stop until you talk to me. And I want you to talk to me so that in here it comes alive and that I know that I know that I know that it is you. As I've been preparing for this day, I just, you know, we're ministers. We can talk a lot about everything. And I just didn't know what the Lord wanted me to talk about today. Or Pastor Lee's so amazing. He's like, just be led by the Spirit. And I prayed and I asked my friends, my sisters, and I asked Kate. I said, you know, these are powerful women in the spirit as well. And she texted me last night and said, you know, all I get from the Lord is courage for such a time. And I was like, that's the one. We're going to walk up and we're going to let the Lord talk to us, even things that are sound crazy. Okay? Can Jesus heal you even when the doctor said you can't? We're going to believe it if Jesus said it. Can Jesus restore your marriage? Absolutely. Can Jesus bless you financially? It's all over the scriptures. Take his word for it. Can Jesus make sure that your kids will come to the Lord? Hallelujah, absolutely. And I say this over and over. I have a covenant with God. I will serve him the rest of my life. We consecrated our kids and we gave them to him. And I will do that. And I know that I know that I know that the Lord will not put me to shame. Their walk would be their own, and they do have their own will, but I trust enough that the seeds have been planted, and that even though they will make mistakes, they will always know the Lord. Amen? So stand with me, please. I did want to share one testimony real quick about Tracy and Travis. I know Tracy's with the kids, but when I met them, I just thought, God, I love these people, and I just met them. And then I would see him. He has a little thing on his face. I'm like, dude, that's kind of cool. Like, how do you get that there? And I think I interrogated him at his house about his tattoos and, you know. And And I remember being in their home, and I got a word from God, and it's such a powerful word, and I loved it. And I want to share with you, because I want all of you guys to be a testimony of this. Everything that this man and his wife have been through, the Lord will use for good and powerful, and many will come to the Lord because of them. They will. And don't look with your eyes to others. Ask the Lord. What do you see in them? What do you see in my kids? But what do you see in my brothers and my sisters? Offend my mind, because what I looked at those tattoos and I was like, oh, right? But it's dynamite inside of that man and inside of that woman. You all know Tracy? She's in there. We can talk about her. She gave me permission. She's dynamite, right? I love that girl. And those kids are beautiful, and they have an amazing purpose of God, and I believed it. And God gave me a word about their home. I said, you know what? I like this house, and I think you should keep it, unless the Lord's going to give you a better one and a bigger one. And of course, the Lord fulfills his promises, and the Lord has so many more for you, my brother. And I love you guys so much, and I see so much going on. And there's a lot of testimonies that the Lord has been doing in their lives right now. And I believe that. And I want to believe that for every single one of you. So I want to pray for all of us. We still need him to speak to us every day. We cannot live on yesterday's manna. We need to live out of the word that comes out of his mouth every day. We can't live on yesterday's promises. It's today. It's a new season. It's a new direction. It's a new time. For Pastor Rudy, for Pastor Nikki, it's a new time. It's a new season. We're going to believe, Lord, speak. And I tell the Lord and I pray, Lord, talk to us like we're 6 years old. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss your instruction. We don't want to miss your direction. And we surely don't want to miss our calling. We will not abort our purposes in God. We will not invest our life to make other people's jobs and companies, which is all good. I want everybody to go into all the marketplaces, okay, and represent Jesus. And go into government, go into the medical field, go into businesses, but go filled with God and have God speak to you, and don't move until he does. And be desperate for him, because your life does depend on it. Your future generations do depend on a word that God speaks. What do you do? Where do you go? Where do you run to? What do you believe when the news starts speaking fear about the economy and about the future and then global climate or global change or whatever? What do you do? Who do you believe? You run to Jesus. Say, Lord, do I go? Do I stay? Do I jump? How high? What does this kid need? What was he born for? You all were born for greatness because you are daughters and sons of a king. And Lord, I just pray this morning, especially for we have a newborn in this church. Many more will be coming. Lord, speak to us, those kings and priests that will come and build out the treasures of old, because there were generations who did honor you and served you. My grandmother came to Christ. We came to Christ. My husband's parents served the Lord. My husband serves the Lord. The mother and my kids know you guys come from generations that have honored the Lord. You know who you are and you act accordingly. And you will be given things even though that you don't deserve because you inherited them. So I release in the name of Jesus spiritual inheritances over your families, even over those kids that are not born yet. We love them. We bless them. There's a future for them. There are promises. And you know what? There's nothing that the Lord cannot fix, change, or restore. Your messes from the past, you know what? Gone. In the name of Jesus, he says he washed your sins away. And he's such an honorable God that he's not going to take your mess ups and throw it in your face again. No, he's bigger than that. He says, I've forgiven you. They're out of my mind. He's an almighty God, knows everything. But he chooses not to throw your sin in your face because that's how honorable he is. So that is how good this God is. Do you believe it? Did you waste 30 years of your life? You know what? God can restore that lost time. Did we mess up with your kids? Absolutely. But you know what? There's a living God. They need Jesus too. Because they will know, foolish is the man that trusts in man, but blessed is he that trusts in the Lord. So dear Heavenly Father, we just bless you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're calling us to do, Lord. And as this, my sister Kate reminded me this morning, courage. Courage to stand firm even when we're offended by the Lord's words. Even though when the world wants to go a different way, you tell us to stand firm on the rock, which is Jesus. On our beliefs, on our values, on what's important. And Lord, I just know in the name of Jesus that the Spirit and fire will come upon their homes, restoration and healing and provisions. And Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice because we don't know the times, but you do know the times. And my prayer has always been, I have brothers and sisters that haven't come to the Lord, and I will never stop believing that they will. But not on a deathbed. They will walk here serving the Lord. And that might be crazy to you all or to those that know my situation, but I believe it. It might seem impossible to man, but if God changed my heart, if God transformed Paul's heart, he could do it to anybody. So dear Heavenly Father, we just love you. We're all in agreement this morning, Lord, and we embrace your word. A culture of people that love you, that know you, that have encounters, a people of faith that can believe those things that they have not seen, a people that is just completely passionate for you. And I am not ashamed of the gospel or your name, Lord, and I will not hide so that people don't think I'm crazy. I'm crazy for you, Jesus. And I'm not religious. I'm just in love with him. And I could tell you, Lord, that we can't live without you. We don't want to either. And like I said earlier, even if there was no promise of a heaven, would we still serve him? Would we still love him? Because we seek you, Lord, for who you are, not for what you extend your hand to give us. We don't just seek you for what you're going to give us. We seek you for who you are. And you are God. You are our Father, you are our friend, but above all, you are the living God, and there is no one like you, and there will never be anyone like you, and you are the living God, the desire of the nations. I bless you. If you have a special need this morning, just please raise your hand. You don't have to go out. You don't have to ask for prayer. If you have a special need for yourself or for someone else, just raise your hand and receive it. Yes. If you know anybody or you have a special need, and you know what? It takes courage to say, I have a need. I have a brother that needs the Lord. Actually, I have two. No, seven. I have a lot of brothers and sisters. They all need Jesus. And I'm going to stand here believing in you, Lord. I'm going to pray, Lord, meet them in their needs. And we receive your blessing and your promises. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Kurabashatarabakaya. 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 I want to finish. Everybody, just close your eyes. Just everybody, close your eyes and enjoy the presence of the Lord. You know He's here. Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Just close your eyes. And if you haven't given your surrendered your life completely, if you know of the Lord, but you want that thing that I call, like, revolutionize the inside of me, make your words come alive, speak to me. If that's you, and you want to recognize, just raise your hand. Nobody look. Just raise your hand. And this is your day. This is your day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not talking about those that we already know Bible and stories, but you know, I need that experience. I want to live it. I don't want people to tell me about those amazing experiences. I want to live them. We want to live them here. I want to hear testimonies. Testimonies. I remember the first time Travis and Tracy came up to me and they're like, you know what, Yada, when we were praying, Travis felt the presence of God like never before. That's the experience, people. That's the experience. I want to feel it. I want to see it. I want to know it. I want to live it. And Lord, it's here for you. It's here for you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, move with power. Yes, Lord, heal them. Heal them, Lord. Bring healing. Put your hand where no man can go. Mend her heart. Mend her soul, Jesus. Mend her heart. Mend her soul. Take the aches and the pains of her memory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kurabashatalabakaya. Suru shururukoya. And Lord, for all of us that at one time were stubborn and rebellious, that we chose to ignore you, I thank you, for you're so good and merciful and patient. Lord, I pray that you draw us near to you. It is your goodness that leads us to repentance. It's not your rod. It's not your menace. It's not the fear. It's your goodness that leads us to repentance. We embrace you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're good, Lord. You're so good. And we bless you, Jesus. Amen. Woo! Let's give it up for the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Lee and Robin so well deserve this time away. We love them. We bless them. You guys have an amazing weekend. Enjoy it with your family and continue to pursue the Lord. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed weekend.